Hey everyone, before we start the show, we just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We literally couldn't do the show without you. If you don't support us, then please do consider checking us out. For $5 a month, you get early access to all our episodes, and you get access to Patreon-exclusive releases such as the Call of Cthulhu Modern Day Scenario, The Space Between, and Cult Divinity Lost, The Summit. So if that sounds good to you, then please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome back to How We Roll Podcast, your source of Call of Cthulhu, D&D and all sorts of other adventures. My name is Joe Trier and I'm your host and GM for tonight, and we are delving back into Curse of Strahd. And as I said last week, we are definitely approaching the final chapters of this story. Seeing as it's going on for 2 years, that might mean we've got another year left, but we are definitely wrapping up a whole lot of threads that I've been building for a while. So let's see how that gets together. But first, let us introduce our players. First up, we have Niall. Niall, how are you doing? And rather than asking about Vorinlar, let's find out how's Vorinlar feeling. Like, how's he approached this last session?
Vorinlar is I'm Niall. Vorinlar is he's very, very confused. He's confused. He's back in the real world on the day that everything went wrong. But everything seemed not as wrong. But now when he went into the house, everything is wrong again. And Silvarex is dead in a carriage outside. I should have checked the other carriages. Am I stupid? Oh, anyway, yeah. I'm being attacked by beetles.
Spoilers, they're all empty.
Okay.
It would have just been a really boring scene that would have got edited out.
Good. I'm glad I didn't waste my time. Yeah, and I'm... Oh, actually, is that kid still behind me?
I don't know. thank you. Welcome back, Dave. How's Jax doing? Because obviously he's brand new to the podcast, brand new to the to Barovia. How's he holding up?
His internal dialogue is something like, "All I wanted was a fucking drink. Now there's some flying ass shit." But anyway, waiting crouched behind this the peak of the roof, just sort of, well, you know, this is some weird shit. Probably the weirdest he's ever seen, but
welcome to Barovia, I guess.
Welcome to Barovia, yeah. Go to Barovia, they said.
Okay, yeah. Aaron, welcome back to the show. How's Silvarex holding up? Obviously, there was some big truth bombs dropped in the last episode.
Well, he is furious that Doro is still there.
Oh, yeah.
And how dare he even show his place in such a sacred place, such as the church. But before he was able to go in and confront Doro, he was accosted by a quite mysterious character, which later he learns to be Strahd's younger and a lot seemingly less evil brother.
Oh yeah, much. I mean, how's Silvarex holding up? Like, obviously, a lot of things have come together at once. Is he? Do you know how he's thinking? How he's feeling?
I think he's a mix of anger, confusion, and I think there's some realization to some backstory here going on for him as well. So
maybe a way out. Who knows?
Possibly. There's some hope. There's some hope still.
Okay, and welcome back, Aram. Great to have you here. How's Grayson doing?
Grayson's fine. As always, Grayson would be fine with them, and Grayson would be fine without them, and Grayson would be fine. I assume like 5 minutes after she ran away from the bat or the giant baby, that she just took a nap.
She's probably just hanging out in the guardhouse. She's fine.
Yeah, she's fine.
On your 6 health points.
Yeah, 7. I have 7. Right? Okay. All 7.
Okay, so on last week's episode, a whole ton of stuff happened. First of all, Voron, who had been knocked unconscious by this huge amorphous blob creature known as the Scion of the Lord of Flesh, woke up in the, well, out in a carriage heading towards the Death House. Very, very confused. He arrived outside the Gaunt Manor and discovered the either unconscious or possibly dead form of Sulvarax. He then went on to explore the house, entered the main reception area, and rather than finding a nice plush marble interior, he found the floor had been ripped asunder and a cavernous, cadaverous hole leading down to the basement was there. The walls were covered in what turned out to be thousands of, I don't know, insects, writhing insects, and as Voron got too close, they leapt out and have grabbed onto his arm. Sulvarax, a whole load of stuff happened. So you found yourself at the site of your first death, the church, Father Donovich's church in the village of Barovia. When you approached the door, you heard from within the voice of Doro, the vampire that killed you many, many episodes ago. Before you could open the door, you were held back by Sergei von Zarevich himself, as you've alluded, the brother, younger brother of Strahd von Zarevich, who actually told the story, or at least his story, of how Strahd became a vampire and who Tatiana is. And he also alluded to something called the Amber Temple, which he's saying holds your spirit or your soul in its own grasp. Meanwhile, back in Kresk, Jax and Grayson are battling against... Well, I should say battling. Running away and hiding from the huge scion of the Lord of Flesh.
I zapped it, and now I'm running away.
It's a good tactic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Someone else's problem now, really.
Well, it's the problem of the burgomistress herself, who has gathered together her town guard, and they have formed a fighting line. But before they could do battle, the father, the burgomistress's husband, has stepped forward and is trying to talk down the blob. And I think that is where we are going to start today's episode. So the tiny man, dressed in white, looks up at this towering, rotting figure that was once his son, and stares up at it and goes, "Son, it is me. I'm your father. Please, let us calm down, and we will be okay. I love you." And with that, the creature looks down, and the power that was coalescing in its hand launches forward, and he is completely engulfed in blackness. The burgomistress screams and slams her staff down to the ground, snapping it asunder, and the echo crashes across the valley, and suddenly the clouds begin to broil. A jet of light launches up into the air from her staff, breaking the clouds apart, and they begin to form and coalesce into a huge bat-like skull. This enormous thing forming above the town of Kresk.
So she's got this. Right? Yeah, she's got it. We can leave, we're good. Right?
So Grayson, let's go with you. So in the guardhouse, you haven't been spotted. You dive through, and although you think that you would have been, the two, in fact, the three guards that were within are crowded up to the far wall, and they're staring through two of these like arrow slit windows. Sure. There's obviously only two windows, and there's three of them. So one of them, the bigger one, is standing over one, and the other two are kind of wrestling back and forth to try and see what's happening.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Is there food?
Yes. So there's a small hearth, and over it is a small cauldron, which is boiling and bubbling with some sort of broth.
Okay. Is there cheese just like
sure.
about?
There's a little table with some cheese.
Excellent.
On. Like it's quite nice, actually. It's goat cheese. Like, this is good.
So I'll just like unfold from the bat as I like kind of like a flutter through the window and just kind of unfold into a cat on this table and just start just casually eating the cheese.
Wow. Okay. Jax, behind the guardhouse, or were you staying on the roof?
I'm on the roof, just over the crest of the roof.
What do you do?
Utterly bewildered by everything that's going on. I'm very much just watching this scene unfold in front of me, just wondering where the hell I've ended up. What is with these people?
Okay, so you stand with a kneel, I guess, on the back of this thatch roof, peering over the top and staring down at the scene which is unfurling before you. The skull above you, this kind of, it's definitely very, is it lupine? No, lupine's wolfish, isn't it? It's this
loop, wolf, yes.
I don't know what it is for bats. But
lupine is
bat. It's not
bat. Bat-like.
this bat-like. This skull, this mouth opens, and this huge like torrent of black bats fly out of it, pour out of it, and begin to fly around. First, this arc of light that's shooting up from this broken staff, and then they fly towards this monstrous figure that's before you, and begin to like completely surround it, fluttering around it, not close enough to touch it, but as they do surround it, this sphere of annihilation, this horrendous anti-life bubble that is surrounding it, begins to attack the bats. They began to drop one by one out of the sky, dropping, struggling to the blackened ground beneath it. And then you look up, there's a clash of thunder and a flash of lightning, and out of this cloud figure flies Strahd himself, riding on the back of a black horse with flaming hooves and flaming eyes, and it launches itself down towards the Scion of the Lord of Flesh.
Mumbled to myself, okay. Well, I'm very glad I stayed the fuck out of the middle of that.
And he begins to chant. The ground begins to shake. Grayson, within this house, you look up from this tasty morsel you found as dust begins to pour from the ceiling and the very walls themselves begin to shake and collapse. You see cracking across the bricks. The very ground itself is tearing itself apart. Outside, Jax, you see the monstrous undead launch up both hands and fire twin rays towards Strahd. Both of which are easily dodged by Strahd on the back of his nightmare steed. In return, the ground itself launches up in spears of stone, each one skewering into the fleshy floor, which begins to spray out blood and pus and blackness in all directions. Everywhere it's pierced, and it screams. Let's see how much damage. 23 damage with 3 ones.
hang on. Where did all these bad rolls come from, you, when you've been rolling like a god against us for the last few sessions?
Come on, Joe. Come on. It's like he doesn't want to hurt his own creation, so he's like, ugh.
Okay, the burgomistress raises her arm and points forward and shouts out a war cry, and all of the guards scream forwards and start charging towards this figure. And Strahd begins casting again. Grayson, what do you do within the shaking house?
Did the guards run towards Strahd? Are they running at Strahd?
No, they're running towards the undead monstrosity.
Oh, I guess that's better. Those are some loyal guards, man. Some seriously loyal guards. All right, I am eating cheese casually. Like, actually, you know what? I've had my fill of cheese. I will walk up to the window where they're kind of like pressing to look through it, and I'll just push myself up into a slit to look out.
Well, they're no longer by the window because the house is actually coming down around you. They're running over to the door, but they can't open the door because obviously the door jams have an angle now, so the door is completely jammed shut.
Right. Oh, is that a problem? I mean,
for them, maybe
for them.
I'm sorry. I suppose. Anything that could help them.
I mean, actually, the window is wide enough if you wanted to leave. Like, there's no issue there.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, I'm just looking if, you know, maybe I could help them. You know what? As I fly through the window, I shall... No, you know what? I will Eldritch Blast the door frame to crack it so they can get out.
Just give me a damage roll. Because let's see how that works. Now, obviously,
occasionally,
you're high enough level that you get 2 blasts.
Yeah, so I'll just, like, you know, zip them. Like, and they come from my eyes. So my eyes just get wide and then, yeah.
This is a terrifying cat.
I am a horrifying cat.
Do you wiggle your butt to and fro while you do it?
Yes, yes. There's a little upset. That's exactly what happens. It's 100%. It's the only warning you get. 14 points of damage.
That is enough to shatter the sides of the door. They turn around and see you there, your fur kind of standing on end, screeching.
Prestidigitation to exaggerate it. My eyes, my voice gets all hollow. Run, flesh bags, run!
They trip over each other to get out of there, and they see this monstrosity outside and the sort of 80 or 50 guards charging towards them, and they just run in the opposite direction trying to get out of there.
I save their lives. I am a hero. This is what heroes do.
And then, like, a chunk of stone lands next to you and sprays you with dust.
All my furs up.
Okay, Jax.
Right, so I presume I feel this building starting to come down from underneath me. How far is it to the next roof?
There's no buildings near. There's trees probably within about 15 feet, but yeah, the buildings are actually quite far apart in Kresk.
Oh, take a running jump and grab a tree. I dare you. I dare you.
Is there a tree?
Sure.
Yeah.
just as I feel the
magically
building.
It just sprouts up.
The magic of GM.
But not just trees, but like all over, not just where the creature's being impaled, but all over these jagged 30-foot, 40-foot high stakes are just erupting from the ground in all directions. And but they're all pointed towards the creature. So not everyone reaches, but it is now sort of surrounded with this forest of jagged sort of spikes.
It's like that shit Thor's sister.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
Right? Which she's. Yeah, okay.
Of course, my mind went to earthbending because I'm watching that with my daughter.
That's so good, isn't it?
That's fair.
I was more earthbending, but both are cool.
I run forward over the crest of the roof towards one of these spikes coming up out of these ground, these pillars of earth, and I leap onto it.
Nice.
Claws extended to slow my fall as I hit the side of it.
Are you heading towards the creature, towards Strahd, towards the people? What kind of direction do you imagine yourself leaping in?
I'm staying out of the fight if I can. So one of the errant spikes that's come out of the ground and missed, preferably.
Sure, and I quite like the idea, like you jump onto one, then another one launches out of the ground, you leap onto that one, then another one appears, and maybe at an angle out of the same one you're on, and you run along that, like...
Yeah. I wanted to make sure I succeeded at my role before I elaborated, but thank you, Joe.
Sure, we'll go with this like it's...
It's like an episode of Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah.
Okay, so the creature again launches two of these ice-cold rays towards Strahd, who rears his horse to try and dodge them. Let's see how they get on. Miss and another miss.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Why?
Strahd,
no, I don't care.
Strahd, in his hand, he has a tiny bead of pure luminescence, which he just casually launches his hand forward or opens his hand, and it drifts out, getting faster and faster and faster. And you recognize this as the same spell of Voron cast as the fireball disappears within the fleshy lump within. And it rolls a 9 to dodge, so there's no way that's happening. And then the fireball explodes within it, doing 30 more points of damage, and more blood and pus begins to just pour from it as the flesh just ruptures, and the ground below is now
absolutely so bad.
So sopping wet with this disgusting putrescent effluence that's pouring from it. The villagers charge into the area. Many of them launch crossbow bolts, which obviously impact on it with no problem, like it has 7 AC or something, but the bolts just disappear inside it. The few that run into its area of effect to try and strike it with their pole arms just immediately drop to the ground, and the creature looks down at them, and they begin to grow hazy and black as their corpses change into the black wraith-like figures that you saw a few episodes ago outside the village of Kresk, and seven wraiths launch themselves towards Strahd.
Huh.
And I think this is probably a good time to change the camera back. So, Voron, when we last left you, you'd approached the writhing walls and reached a hand towards them, and they'd leapt forward, grabbing you and pulling you towards them. You take some damage as these insects begin to chew on your arm. So you take six points of damage.
All right, so I'm down to one HP. I'm joking. Cool. I, in reaction to that, I'm going to just throw off the cloak I'm wearing, so the ones that are up my arm get pulled off with the cloak. And on my hand, I'm going to just cast Frostbite on the ones on my hand.
So what does it look like?
As a cantrip. basically, just around my hand, you just see kind of a... You know, like whenever something's very cold, that like steamy kind of the air turning into condensation around my hand, and the beetles on my hand just start to freeze. And I just kind of like, I guess I don't have a white. Fine, I bang it against my staff so that the frozen ones just like break off.
No problem. And you back off. And although the creatures that you. So you back off, and they don't seem to be able to get away from the wall. Like their range seems to be limited. You sort of back off a couple more steps, and then you get this feeling that you're being watched, like this sort of itching in the back of your neck.
Can I do an? It would probably be a perception rather than an investigation check.
You don't need
correct?
To. You turn around, and there at the top of the stairs is a shadowy, roughly bipedal figure. Head slumping forward with a vaguely canine cast. It's almost completely in shadow, naked, and although you can't really make out any details, its flesh seems to have a kind of unpleasant rubberiness about it. And Christ. It stands
that sounds horrendous
at the top of the stairs.
I move back towards the door that I came in from, and I address it. I'm like, who are you? What are you doing here?
It looks at you and says, I am you, Voron.
Nope. No, you're not.
Well, not you, but what you could be. I am your friend, Voron. You and I, we are one.
What? Sorry. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I should make more introductions. Hello. And it kind of leaps down, and he lands on the lip of the hole in the ground. And then another leap.
I point my staff towards
him
it.
Within about
I'm
10
like,
feet with you.
Come
and he goes, don't worry. I'm here as your guide, your helper, your friend.
Guide to where?
You.
Where is everyone else that was here? What has happened here?
Here? Oh, I see. You're not really here. You're here, but not here. Do you see what I mean? You're not... I'm not explaining myself very well, am I?
No. No, please. Please be clearer.
Clearer.
I'm like very, very... Like my grip is like, my knuckles are like on white with the grip of my staff while I'm pointing it at him.
Here is not here, it's here, if you see. Come. I can show you more. Just follow me down here and I will show you. I show you such things. You will find out the truth, Voron. Because the truth will set you free.
See. I know it's a bad idea, but Voron wants to know how everything works. all right. First things first. Damn it, I don't have mage armor in my fucking spells right now. Okay. You stay that far or further in front of me.
Of course.
And this around here, whatever this is on the walls, can you stop that from coming near me?
Oh, yes, the biting ones. Don't worry about them. They are lesser things that don't need to worry you or I. They are the souls of those who weren't powerful enough, weren't confident enough, didn't have the vision that you and I have.
Okay. Lead the way.
Oh, hang on.
Do not.
I did not introduce myself, did I? I apologize. Where are my manners? My name is Balthazar Drapsha, the leader of the Red Vistani.
When he says his name, does he do a little like... I picture him doing like a little flourish.
He absolutely does. You know? Absolutely does.
So up close, what does he look like? Like, what, you said he looked like he was like almost all had a rubber element to him.
He looks like you have looked like in Barovia. He is a ghoul.
So a ghoul.
Basically.
Okay. What was his last name?
He said
Balthazar.
Balthazar Drasha. Drasha.
Drasha.
So what did you mean ghoul, canine form then?
So ghouls have a canine countenance. They have like a muzzle. Like,
oh, right. Okay.
They're dog people. Kind of.
And he called himself the leader of the Red Vistani as well.
Yeah, that's right. What's got me. Yep. I was like, you, to try and convince me to follow you, that is not really a good start. Why would I trust anyone with the red? I don't know where I am right now, but every encounter I've had in Valaki, the Red Vistani have always been at the bad end of it.
He kind of like turns his head and looks completely confused, like you've said something completely insane.
You look nothing like them.
And he says, "Ah!" And he just laughs, and there's this hideous, throaty, gurgling laugh. And he just like almost like bends over with laughter, and it is unable to speak for a few minutes. And then goes, "Oh, no, that is my. Oh no, you're so foolish. That is my new name. To become a full ghoul, you need to eat living flesh, and you take the name of the last thing you ate."
Oh. That's nice.
So you're not necessarily all bad then. You ate the leader of the Red Vist. I'm like, in my head, the gears are turning. I'm like, do I trust him?
Oh, but I was a Red Vistani before I became a ghoul.
Right.
How look, let's go. Let's go. Is that kid still around?
Yeah, you look down and he reaches up and holds on to your like little finger and goes, "Could I hold your hand? He scares me."
Why do you have a child?
He was outside.
Whoa. Lots of children are outside.
Look, it wasn't my choice for him to be here.
You're allowed to go there. Why did you take a child?
I look at the kid and I'm like, no, this is definitely not somewhere you can come.
No.
You need to go back outside.
You can't have a child 5 feet from
a ghoul. I told him to stay outside.
Are there other ghouls there? Have you looked? Jeez.
No. I just got into the house.
Good luck, kid.
Anyway. Kid, I'm just like, look.
Balthazar looks at you and goes, good idea. Bring a snack.
No, kid, outside. Please, just don't. You can't be here.
The kid sort of looks up at you with these sort of doll-like eyes, clutches his tiny white teddy bear to his chest, turns around slowly and just walks away in the opposite direction, away from you.
Does the kid even know where he is?
Look, this, Aaron... Before you joined the podcast, this kid was in here too. I was actually, if the kid didn't go, I was going to go all Gandalf. I was going to slam my staff down. I was like, do you see me as a conjurer of cheap tricks? Use prestidigitation to make the room dark around me. But okay, he's gone. I will follow Balthazar, which is a completely trustable name of a person too.
Yeah.
doesn't sound evil at
all. So as you descend into the fetid depths...
Sorry if we have any fans called Balthazar.
You turn around and just over your shoulder you see the child is just looking at you over his shoulder, and tears are pouring down his eyes, and then you could disappear into darkness. Sulvarax, let's see where you're up to.
So, how do I get out of here?
Ultimately, you have to defeat Strahd. Strahd is being punished. Him and the creature that gives him power, they live their life again and again. Every century, Tatiana, who Strahd is convinced he loves, is reborn. Strahd finds her, and she is killed in front of him. Repeat, repeat, again and again, forever, for eternity.
But how do we break that cycle?
He has to be destroyed. Many have tried, but no one has ever had this. And he holds up this crystal sword and reaches his arm out towards you, hilt first, presenting you with the blade.
Oh, shit.
Will this give me the power to defeat Strahd?
He, motions for you to take it.
All right.
And I kind of, reach out towards the sword and grab the handle.
So as you wrap your scaly fingers around the platinum hilt and he releases the blade, the crystal shatters and the flecks of atomized glass spray in all directions. And Sergei sighs and says, after I died, Strahd and Vampyr knew that the history of this blade and its relationship to me and my brother would be his only undoing. So he tasked his wizard with destroying it. My magical blade could only be destroyed by separating the blade from the hilt, which he did. He destroyed the crystal, shattering it into oblivion. But before he could destroy the hilt, it was taken by his apprentice off into the woods. A greedy young wizard. Who knows what happened to him? But the hilt found its way into a very dark place. You will find the hilt back in Barovia, in a dead village. You may not have heard of it. It was drowned by a river 100 years ago when Tatiana was last resurrected. The village realized that she was loved by Strahd, and rather than giving her to him, they stoned her to death. In revenge, Strahd raised the very waters of the river itself and drowned the villagers and the village too. Now, the drifting corpse of a village is ruled over by horrible creature. She used to be my nursemaid. Strahd and myself were raised by her. My parents were too busy. She believes herself to be Strahd's true mother. She calls herself Baba Lasaga. She is a twisted, witch-like creature that spawns the hags who torment this land. She has it in her hut, although she does not know what it is. But for now, you take this. It has much power. And as he says that, the hilt begins to vibrate. And as you lift it up, a jet a stream of glowing sunlight, pure brilliance, pours out of the end of the hilt, forming a blade of pure sunlight.
It's a fucking lightsaber, that's it now.
Although he succeeded in breaking the crystal blade, what he accidentally did was create his demise. This is the Sun Sword. And let's change the camera back to Jax and Grayson.
Excellent. Grayson just got their Sun Sword, right? Yes, thank you. Playing with on the bar.
As I said, I'm trying to use, like, in two episodes, do stuff that's probably going to take us the next 6 months.
Like, every time I draw my sword now, I'm going to go...
Remember, you only have it in the area you have now. If you want to get it in Barovia, you've got to go and get it.
Oh, man.
But that'll become clear as this recording progresses. So, Grayson, you are within a house that's collapsing in on itself. Outside, you can hear a titanic battle of epic proportions, quite literally, as Strahd and this creature fling terrible magics at each other.
Yes. Well, I don't want any part of that. However, no. I kind of do, because... I want the power, right? Like, I'm very interested in all the power. So, okay. So I'm watching this unfold in front of me. How do I usually talk to my demon buddy?
I'm not sure if it's ever been made clear.
I'm going to try, because I imagine there's some power here to be gained, and I imagine that my little demon buddy would enjoy some of this power, and that maybe this would be of interest to them. So I'm going to bring it to their attention.
Okay.
Or try to.
So what are you going to do?
Okay, so whatever. Do I understand where my patron is, or what it is? Do I understand anything about it?
When you last died, you felt your spirit being pulled from your body and dragged across the snowy wastes up into the mountains, where there was this sort of broken temple. And you believe that in the catacombs of this temple is where your patron is currently being housed. That would be probably to the kind of south of where you are now.
Okay. And do I know anything about it? Or just this...
He's only ever revealed himself as a one-eyed, skeletal, lich-like figure on a golden throne.
Okay. Well, then I will... I must have a coin on me in my little backpack. I will look into the reflection of gold and see if I can see him in it. And if I can, I will speak to him.
Okay, I'm going to need a roll. The one that jumps out to me is probably a religion role, but if you can think of anything more appropriate, I'm willing to go with that.
No, Sally does make the most sense. I can't argue with that. All right, so I only get a +3. I rolled an 11. 8 plus 3 is
so
11.
The gold coin catches the light of the magics outside. And you kind of using, I guess, mage hand or something to almost reflect the light into your eyes. And for a moment, you find yourself entering a trance, and the darkness around you begins to coalesce and become somehow deeper and darker. And you feel the world around you fading. And just for a moment, you almost feel like you're standing in that shadow-filled room before your patron. But then something happens. Maybe there's an explosion of outside. There's another fireball or terrible magic is fired or flown back and forth, and you lose that trance.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to leave. and put distance between myself and this. So I'll kind of like stay low and dart between houses until I can get some distance away, looking for my friends as I go.
Nice. Okay, so as you leave the hut, you glance over to where Strahd is still firing these magics down upon this creature. And the creature now just looks like this enormous, like, almost like a burst balloon. So it's almost empty, and on the ground are these, like, fetid intestines and all this terrible stinking liquid, and its skin is just hanging 20 foot long, almost completely empty of any innards, but it's still desperately trying to move its hands to fire these bolts of energy up. But you can tell that
its skin is still like moving and fighting. Yeah,
but it's very Jesus. Much on its last breath.
Legs. Yeah.
Well, sure. The legs are lying on the ground twitching. But it's almost like if you pop a balloon, you just hold it up with your fingers and let it dangle beneath you. That's what it's like.
If the balloon was living and struggling to continue to do so. Sure. Right, I get you, Joe.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
It's pretty awful. Okay, so that's all bad and part of the reason why I'm leaving.
Do I spot living. The cat running for it?
Yeah, sure. Give me a perception roll.
I'm being super slinky.
Okay, give me a stealth roll.
Oh, wait, shit. I just screwed myself.
Good. Next five episodes, Jack's just wandering through the woods.
Where the hell's the cat? I rolled a 19 total. 11 plus 8 is 19.
Okay, there's your target, Jax.
Perception?
Yeah.
23.
Nice.
19 plus 4.
Okay.
Nice. So you know when a cat is really convinced they're hidden, but you can see them plain as day? So like that's kind of what's going on here. Like I am pressed up against, I do not realize you're behind me whatsoever, and I'm just sneaking along super carefully.
And of course I move along with, where's my stealth bonus? A 19 to my stealth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't know you're there.
I'm actually like a cat.
So what are you actually doing? So I'm are just you both following leaving the scene.
As this battle unfolds, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know who the players are, but I don't want to piss any of them off.
Sure.
And you know, between the skeletal horse arriving after being summoned by a vampire bat skull in the sky guy or the giant bloated demonic form, I don't want any of either of that.
No.
This guy is the last person I saw who actually fought this thing running away, and I'm going to follow. So all that you might see as I slink after him is when the flames erupt from these various magics, just the light just glints off my cat's eyes, occasionally revealing where I am. If you can.
So there's just a cat sneaking along, and then behind it is a very large cat person sneaking along.
Okay, so Strahd flies down on, I believe it's Bucephalus, his nightmare steed, and gets within 30 feet and just raises his arm almost casually again, and a cone of super frozen air engulfs the sagging figure of the Scion of the Lord of Flesh, and the cone of cold completely freezes it. 30 points of damage, I rolled two ones again. And it stops from, freezes, if you will, for a moment, before shattering into a thousand pieces of red flesh-like chunks and drops to the ground.
Wow.
And Strahd slowly circles the blackened clearing of the lifeless grounds that this abomination had created, and lands softly on the grass before trotting towards the crowd of guards and the burgomistress that have summoned him.
Oh, they summoned him? That's a bad idea. I realized that's what happened. Oh, man. Okay. We're still leaving, right? I mean, I guess we could. I guess, like, do I see that happen? Do I see Strahd come to Earth?
Yeah, yeah.
And start
very much so. Yeah, clopping. I think you're all quite close by. I mean, you could only have moved like, is it? It's half moving with your stuff, so you're only like, you know what, 20 feet away.
Yeah.
You're very close right now.
Okay, I'm going to. I'm gonna disguise self because I can do it at will to look like a dog, like a really friendly dog, because everyone likes dogs. And then I'm gonna weave my way into the crowd so I can hear what the hell Strahd is saying.
Okay,
that's what I'm gonna.
Nice.
Do.
And Jax, what are you doing?
So, presumably, I witnessed this transformation.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes. It starts from the ears and it kind of unfolds and then goes out to the front paws and then wiggles its way down my back.
So just as you sort of begin the transformation, I step out of the shadows just behind you. And as you continue to transform into a dog, my ears just lie flat back.
It's like, hurrow! Like, I'm just a dog. Yeah. And I just kind of trot. I still don't know you're there.
I've revealed myself to you. I've stepped out in a very obvious way.
Oh, well, then I would hiss and then bark. And, like, this weird kind of, like, hiss bark. And then, like, fall over because I'm startled. And then I'm also not used to my dog body. And then, you know, get myself back up onto my paws and try and look, like tough, but I'm trying to look tough like a cat and I'm a dog, so it doesn't really work. I'm just kind of like edging my back and trying to bounce sideways.
This is the cat video in the making.
Okay, let's just see if Strahd notices you. So Strahd has pretty high perception, funnily enough, so I'm just going to see if he does sort of. So you both had about 20, didn't you, to stealth?
Yeah,
19 for me.
I think they were both 19.
Okay, so Strahd has a 29 to perception.
Well, is he looking for a dog that got exposed to nerve gas?
So let's play this out sort of narratively. So he rides down to the ground and he stands before the crowd in front of him. The guards dropped their knees, or at least one knee, and bow in obedience. And the burgomistress steps forward. Strahd sort of casts his glance across them, stepping down from his horse. And he sort of glances all around. And he does seem to look directly at both of you. But he doesn't seem to react. He then turns back to the burgomistress and says, "You have done well in summoning me. This abomination did not deserve to live, and you could not have defeated him without me. I am very pleased." And she looks up and says, "I am so pleased that I have pleased you, my master. We were just getting ready to make our yearly sacrifice. We have gathered some, refugees from Valaki, and we were going to use them." And he looks down at her again and says, "No, you have sacrificed enough. You have lost much of your livelihood today. But you remain loyal. I will make sure some of my servants bring through some livestock from my own pastures or whatever and bring them to you. You will eat well this winter and you will survive for the spring when it comes. And you..." He turns around and faces both of you directly. "Mm-hmm. You, I don't recognize. Come forth."
Woof.
I'm sold.
Jax pulls himself up, straightens up, rearranges his scabbard, assumes his most courtly manners, and steps forward, bows before Strahd. "My name is Jax. I am new to these parts. Though I do not know who you are surely a great and powerful lord.
I am Lord Strahd von Zarovich, and you will address me as such.
Woof woof.
But welcome to my fair land. Did you help defeat this abomination? I sense power from both of you.
In some small way, though I found my bolts did no harm to this creature.
You both are strange. Drop your foolish disguise, cat. I wish to talk to you more. And you, Burgermistress, prepare a meal for the three of us. We have much to discuss.
Okay, I'll turn back into my cat self, but it's slightly fluffier than it normally is.
Strahd just turns and marches towards the communal dining sort of building, almost with the assumption that you're going to follow.
Sure, I'll trot along. So hi, I guess I would turn to the other cat. Hi, so you're like a cat and a person. That's new. Anyway, then I'll just keep walking.
I am a tabaxi, and where I come, cats have manners.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to skip forward.
Then they're not cats.
I'm going to skip forward just a few minutes. So when Strahd enters this dining building, he just sits himself down at the head of the table and motions for you to sit before him. He doesn't say anything until the Burgermistress and a couple of her villagers bring forth a bottle of wine, which you notice has a familiar brand on it, which you reckon is coming from the Wizard of Wines. And I think you saw them at the Blood on the Vine Tavern back in the village of Brovia.
Yeah.
They put forward a luscious meal of meat and vegetables, way better than anything you've seen before, Grayson. Obviously, Jax, you've been fed probably prisoner's rations for the last past few days that you've been locked away.
Nice.
And then they all back off very, very quickly, sort of backwards out of the room. So, is this to your liking, this food?
Grayson is eating like a plate full of meat. just and then like keeps licking his whole face to try and get the sauce off it, and just like, stops for a moment. It's fine.
Or would you prefer living meat? Because I can hang on.
And he clicks his fingers, and three mice run up from the edges of the room, scamper up the legs of the table, and just sit before you, Grayson. Or look, sort of stand on their haunches, looking up at you, Grayson.
Yeah. Well, it's less fun this way, but I won't turn down a rat.
He clicks his fingers, and the three mice just scamper away.
I-beams, and I shoot two of them. Just zero right away.
So, Jax, would that be more to your liking, or are you happy with this human food?
At what points, when he turns to me, I've just got my knife and fork held very daintily in my hands, a small, very neatly cut bite halfway to my hand. No, the fare in front of me right now is more than adequate. Thank you.
I'm now at the side of your plate. I've got one of the completely barbecued rats in my mouth. I'm like, plah, one for you. I go back and get the other one.
Why? Thank you?
Of course. You're welcome. I am generous.
With the back of my fork, I just sort of push it as far as I can to one side of my plate.
Just three napkins in the middle.
Anyway, to business. As I said, I am the lord of this wild and unruly land. You stand in one of the few places of what might be called civilization, but unfortunately this is a poor bastion against the terrible things that dwell in the darkness. But I do what I can. My castle is not too far away, and from there I rule this land with an iron fist, making sure my subjects live good and proper lives, as is right. As you see, And in return,
yes,
I provide safety, as you have seen today.
Mm-hmm. Would you call this land safe?
This town would have been dead without me. I protect
no
my
doubt,
subjects.
My lord.
As you see.
There's no one who could have defeated that creature. Clearly, you are most powerful. But in general, would you call this land safe? Like, is it safe to walk about at night? Is it safe to keep your doors unlocked? Is it really safe?
I like you, Cat. You don't talk like anybody else. If I was in a worse mood, I would have smited you where you stand, and you would be a furry mess on the table. But no, I am a generous ruler, and today, you entertain me. But I have some business for both of you. You are both powerful, no?
Yes.
Well, I have some skill with the blade, it is true.
Good.
He's all right. I am powerful.
We have some things to discuss. For although the land is mine and I am the land, and its power is mine and I provide my power, some strange things have been happening of late, and I need some help, and I would be willing to give you anything you wish. Name it and it is yours. But wait, this is what I wish. I wish for two things. Number one, some thieves broke into my castle. Outsiders like yourselves. But not good like you. Not righteous, lawful people like I see you two are.
Yes, lawful.
These were thieves in the night. Rapscallions. Blackguards. Broke into my father's tomb. My brother's tomb. Opened it up. Stole the armor from his very corpse. And they stole a book, my journal. I need it returned. The creature, for it is a creature that has it, is a ghoulish abomination named Voronilar, last seen in this vicinity. I want the book returned. Or tell me where he is. Or provide me with a piece of him, a hair, clothing, possession, and I will find him myself. That's my first task. The second one is a personal one. One that touches me deep into my heart. Now, I have not told you or many people this, but many, many centuries ago, I was a living creature like yourselves before I was cursed by the foul things that trap us all within this land. And I was cursed because I defended myself against my evil brother. The day of my wedding to a beautiful creature named Tatiana. We had been in love for many years. And when my parents gave us permission to marry, I discovered that my younger brother Sergei loved her too. And he was a tiny, weak thing, could not stand up to me. But on the day of my wedding, as I said my very vows of love to my beautiful Tatiana, he crept into the room. And with his poisoned blade, thrust it into my heart and threw my dying body into the river. Tatiana, my beautiful Tatiana, threw herself after me, but I did not die. The dark powers that lived in the mage's prison at the top of the mountain grasped onto my soul, kept me alive just to torment me. And to escape, to end this curse, all I need to do is rescue my beautiful Tatiana, who is resurrected every 100 years just to give me that chance. The dark powers left me this key to escape. But every year, every 100 years, Sergei is also resurrected and ruins it. And you have come at a very important time, because she is alive now in the body of a lady called Irina. But I cannot find her. She has disappeared from me. Do these two things. Bring me Irina. Alive or dead, I will use my power to bring her back to life. But bring me her body. Bring me her alive. And bring me that book. And I will grant you anything.
Oh. Anything. Well, it's awful generous of you.
And that is where I think we'll leave today's podcast.
Good, because I will happily take one anything. One anything owed to Grayson. Thank you.
On that bombshell, thank you so much again, everyone, for playing. Thank you at home for listening. It's managed to get out an awful lot of story out today, which has been really exciting. I cannot wait to see where this goes to next. My name is Joe Trier. If you want to get in touch with me, please check contact me on Twitter at HWR Podcast, on our Discord, on the podcast Facebook page, on Reddit, or you can contact the podcast directly at gmail at harrowpodcast@gmail.com. And please do. Dave, how can people get in touch with you? Is there anything you want to share and you want to mention?
As always, you can contact me on our Discord. Just hit me up at Dave, and we can chat. We can talk about miniatures. I love DIY, woodworking, etc. Great group of people over there. Come and be one of us.
And there's a link to the Discord in the show notes, so please check it out. Niall, thank you again for playing. It's been great to have you here. Anything you'd like to share, talk about? How do people get in touch with you?
I literally just updated my I was in the process of updating my Twitter to at How We Roll Niall. That's at HWR-Niall. Other than that, you can catch me on the Discord, and I'm usually hanging around there. Might jump into a conversation every now and then, or if you message me directly, I'll probably, like, if you at me in the Discord, I'll get back to you more than likely.
Nice one, thank you. Aaron, how do people get in touch with you? Anything you want to share, anything you want to talk about? And thanks again for playing.
Well, thanks, Joe. Yes, you can find me on the Twitters. That's HWR Aaron, and come and follow me and see what I get up to and what I do. And if you're not of a Twitter persuasion, then you can also find me on the How We Roll Discord. Don't worry, just at Aaron, and I will see your message or question, and I will answer when I can.
Fantastic. And last but by no means least, thank you again, Aaron, for joining us. Anything you want to share, anything you want to talk about, how can people find more of your work?
Yeah, you can find me and everything I do on Twitter at Vartian. You can also find me at aramvartian.com, because I am the only Aram Vartian in the world. So
that must be
it's
nice.
Real easy to find me. Yeah. Well, the reasons why aren't nice, but the effect of it is nice. Yeah.
I'm the only Niall O'Byrne in the world too, actually.
Yeah, excellent.
So, boom to unique names.
Amazing. Thank you all so much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to hear more of what we do, you can find all of our Call of Cthulhu one-shots, as well as our Two-Headed Serpent campaign and our playthrough of Mastodon and Athertap on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you can find podcasts. Next week, we will be returning to Two-Headed Serpent, and the week after that, we'll have more Dungeons & Dragons. If you can't wait that long, then please do check out our Patreon at patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. For $5 a month, you get early access to all our shows, and you get some really cool Patreon content exclusive to our patrons, including our Call of Cthulhu scenario, The Space Between, and our playthrough of Cult Divinity Lost, The Summit. We want to say a thank you to all of our patrons, including our newest supporters, Lynn H, Joseph B, Kurt C, and Patrick O. Thank you all so much. Before we go, I want to say a huge thank you to BattleBards.com, who have provided us with many of the sound effects and music you've heard on the show. We highly recommend checking them out at BattleBards.com. And lastly, our partners at Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realm have a gold chess code just for How We Roll listeners. All you need to do is enter the game and enter this code. BURSWANYMARM. That is all from us. We will be back next week. Have a great week.